You may be seated. In this perspective and prayer perspective series, part of what I felt led to do was to offer you varying perspectives on prayer, letting you see prayer from different angles. Always remember, we're finite beings accessing an infinite God. There is going to be varying perspectives on prayer. I want to welcome those of you that are at our campuses, and man, are we glad to see you here at Fairview Heights tonight. I want to introduce our speaker. Our speaker is Dr. Ivan Philby. He is the president of Greenville University, but that is not why I invited him here. It isn't. And he has all of the achievements and education and accolades that you would expect from a president of a university, but that's not why I invited him here. I invited him here because I had lunch with him last month, and I was blown away by his love for Jesus Christ. And I was blown away by his heart for prayer. That's why he's here. I always tell people, all I ever wanted to do was tell people about Jesus, and I ended up being a mainline megachurch pastor. I'm still not sure how that happened. And I always think with Dr. Philby, I think all he ever wanted to do was pray for people to be healed, and he ended up being a university president. So unlikely people in unlikely roles, but you're going to feel the passion that this man has for Jesus. I would ask you to welcome Dr. Ivan Philby.
Bless you. All right. Hey, well, first of all, I want to commend the worship group. One of the really important aspects of worship is setting a platform that God can come and have fun in. And it is wonderful. And it's just evident to me by the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit in this place that you already are a church of prayer. You do not get this atmosphere. I call it the soup of the Holy Spirit. You don't get this atmosphere if this has not been a praying congregation. So I commend you for that. I want to speak just for a moment to the other campuses who will hear this video recording a little bit later. And I want to just share a testimony to encourage you, because I think you get to see this a week later. So about, I think it was November, I was preparing for a meeting such as this, and I was listening to a podcast or a recording of a preacher that I'd read a book by but never heard him on healing. And he's from Australia, and I enjoyed listening to him. And right at the very end, he said, okay, I've got some words of knowledge. Now, if you don't know what words of knowledge are, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gives little inklings of what he would like to do. It's like bait to get people to respond. And the first word of knowledge he said is, there's loads of people here with floaters in their eyes. Now, you need to know, I've had eye problems since about the age of 5. My eyes have had so many floaters in. So floaters are little black dots that go around. I remember laying on my bed as a kid, looking through the window, trying to blow the clouds up with all my little floaters. I'd have to kind of move my head and see if... So I've had this all my life. I need to know, the tape was recorded a year and a half before I listened to it. But I'm just bold, and I said, God, I want in. And so when the preacher was saying, I want those people in this auditorium to stand, I got up off my chair and said, here I am, God. My floaters went. So I want to encourage you who will hear this next week, God is eternal, and he is the God of next week for you. But for those of us who are here, he's the God of now. One other story, and then we'll get into some material. I want you to imagine we're like taking a big jumbo aircraft ride tonight. And if you think about when you get into a jumbo jet, you taxi for a while, and then you accelerate down the runway. Well, that's more like a motorbike. But imagine a plane sound. And then you lift off, and then you fly, and then you land the plane. So I'm going to tell a couple of stories, and then we're going to start to taxi. We're going to accelerate. We're going to lift off. We're going to talk a bit. We're going to fly, and then we're going to land the plane at the end. How will I know if I've been effective? I want you to leave with a bigger understanding of God's Father heart for you, that He is for you. I want you to leave with a bigger and a deeper hunger for what prayer can accomplish and the adventure that prayer can be. So often we see prayer as hard work, and it can be, but it's also an adventure and opportunity to partner with God. I was speaking in Greenville at a Free Methodist church, maybe just over a year ago, maybe it was a year and a half, I forget. And one of the little insights God gave me was there's someone there with a polyps. Now, I didn't know what a polyps was, so I had to look it up in the dictionary because that apparently was not a word in my PhD. And I found it's like a growth, and it said it's often in a woman's womb. And so when I was speaking, I said, I think there's someone who's got a polyps in their womb, and I think God wants to heal that person. Anyhow, I get them wrong all the time. That's okay. So during the service, there was one, actually a Greenville University student who was praying with Kathy, and she had been told she's got a polyps on a vocal cord. So it's a long way away from a womb. And she said she's a singer, like Gabrielle. Is it Gabrielle? Did I get the name right? Like Gabrielle. But when she was young, she was in a playing with some friends, and she had injured a vocal cord. So when she's going up the scale, she hits a plateau and can't get right up to top C. So Kathy prayed with her, and I prayed with her. And a couple of days later, she runs out of the music recording studio and said, President Philby, guess what? I can sing all the way up and down the scale now. So that was wonderful. So I just assumed I'd got that word wrong. But there was one of our friends in the congregation who one of her best friends had this condition. And in the middle of me preaching, she sent her a text. Can you imagine? Don't do this. She sent a text in the middle of my wonderful preaching to her friend and said, I think Dr. Philby is going to pray for you. She was healed by text. I don't know how God does that. I just want you to know, whichever campus you're on, whether you're here tonight, whether you're on one of the satellite campuses, whether you see it on YouTube, God is with you now. All right, so keep an eye on the time because I go long. All right, so we're now going to start to taxi, and I'm going to take you very quickly through the first 10 chapters of Luke. Really, all right. So chapter 1, it's about the birth of John the Baptist, right? So that's chapter 1 done. I told you I'd go quickly. Chapter 2 is about the birth of Jesus being foretold and that Jesus is dedicated in the temple. We're taxiing now. You know, one of these little tugboats on wheels is pulling us along to the runway. Chapter 3 talks about the ministry of John the Baptist and that Jesus is baptized. There you go, 3 chapters all in one. Now, chapter 4, we need to pause a little bit because this is the first time Jesus comes to Nazareth, his hometown. So if you remember, in John chapter 3, he is tempted in the wilderness. Luke. Thank you. I was going to give you some candy there, but I don't have any. Thank you. Yeah, so Luke. Let me go backwards. All right. So Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes into the wilderness. It says he goes in full of the Holy Spirit. But after he's tempted, it says he comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he goes to Nazareth, his hometown, and he goes into the temple as the custom is on the Sabbath, on a Saturday. And he picks up the scroll from Isaiah 61. And this is what the scripture says. And I think we'll have some of it up here. Pakow, look at that. Isn't that great? And this is what it says. So it says he went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as is his custom. He stood up to read, and on the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and rolling it, he found the place where it is written. And this is quoted from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And Isaiah 61, although not quoted in the scripture, goes on to say, taking ashes and making them beautiful, taking mourning and making it into dancing, taking despair and filling that place with joy. And I think it's wonderful that Jesus took this as his manifesto. This is what he has come to do, to bring this type of radical good news to people like you and me. And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And it says, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began saying, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He's got everyone's attention. Now, we'll come back to that. Luke chapter 4, the next scene is they try to throw him off a cliff. Now, funny, Jesus does this. He just talks about, he offends them. They try and kill him by throwing him off a cliff. And then he drives out some impure spirits and heals many. John chapter 5. Sorry, Luke. You need to help me here. Don't fall asleep. Luke chapter 5. He calls his disciples. He heals a person with leprosy. He forgives and heals a paralytic. He eats with sinners. Luke chapter 6. You thought I'd get it wrong, but I didn't. I got it right this time. Luke chapter 6. Jesus talks about being Lord of the Sabbath. He calls his 12 apostles. He commands us to love our enemies. He talks about the wise and the foolish builders. In Luke chapter 7, he praises the faith of the centurion. He raises a widow's dead son. And then there's another scene that John the Baptist, who's in prison, sends a couple of his disciples to Jesus. And I'll read this scripture out, and I believe it's going to pop up from John. Look at this. Luke chapter 7, it says, John's disciples told him all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sickness, and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. In Luke chapter 8, so we're now kind of getting up now. So we're just about to take off. Luke chapter 8, Jesus calms a storm, talks about the parable of the sower. He restores a demon-possessed man. He raises a sick girl from the dead, and he heals a sick woman. And now it's takeoff time, because up until this point, Jesus does it all. But in Luke chapter 9, he says, time to play. Luke chapter 9 is all about sending 12 disciples out to do the work of God. And I think we have the scripture here. In Luke chapter 9, verse 9, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God has come. Heal the sick, he told them. And so they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. So now taking off, Jesus is saying, it's not just about me. I want to mentor you. I want to train you. I want to equip you to do the works of God. And we see this pattern of mentoring through scriptures where Jesus would demonstrate something. His disciples would go out and then they'd come back and then they'd talk about it. The rest of Luke chapter 9, he feeds 5,000. Peter declares Jesus to be the Christ. Jesus predicts his own death. There's a transfiguration. Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. Jesus predicts his death for the second time. And then in Luke chapter 10, we see Jesus now getting more people involved. He now sends out 72. And he gives them pretty much the same commission. It says in verse 10, of Luke chapter 10, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was to go. When you enter a town and you welcome, eat what is offered to you, heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. In Luke chapter 10, they tell the story of the Good Samaritan, and then there's the account of Mary and Martha when Jesus goes to their house, and Mary takes a better portion by praying when Martha is consumed by the practicalities of hospitality in that case. And then we come to Luke chapter 11, where I want to just to pause and spend a little of our time. This is our flight. This is our flight time. There are new movies. There are no peanuts. Sorry. It says here in verse 11, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, I don't know why at this point his disciples asked this question. Obviously, Jesus is praying. We don't know from Scripture what on earth John the Baptist taught his disciples about praying. It's not recorded. But we do know that some of John the Baptist's disciples left following John the Baptist and started following Jesus, Andrew being one of them. And so he would have recalled how John the Baptist taught him to pray. But obviously they were seeing something unique about Jesus. And perhaps the request to learn to pray is coming out of the fact that Jesus is now involving them in his ministry. He is not just going around teaching and working wonders. He is sending his people out in the power of the Holy Spirit to represent and to preach the kingdom of God. And so they are asking, how do we get more equipped? And so Jesus says to them, when you pray, say, Father. Some manuscripts of Luke says, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's just pause there for a minute. When we come to pray, our understanding of Father God is so critical. Because so often we come and sometimes we think if we can beg God, he will perhaps answer our prayer. But that's the wrong orientation. He is our Father and he is good. A friend of mine, his name's Andy. He's just a good friend of mine. He's currently working fundraising for Bruce Wilkerson. So Bruce Wilkerson wrote the book, The Prayer of Jabez, or Jabez, whichever version you would like, and has written quite a number of books on prayer and leadership. And so my friend Andy is fundraising for him at the time. But the first time I called Andy, because I'd heard he'd given $100 million away. And that gets my attention as someone who fundraises. And so I called him up, and he actually said, actually, I've been so good at giving all my money away, I've given it all away. Got nothing for you. And I go, but I said, Andy, I just want to be, anyone who has that radical generosity in the kingdom, I'm just going to be your friend. I want to be friends with people who inspire me to follow Jesus closely. And so I said, Andy, I'm going to call you every month until you tell me not to. Seems fair. So we talk every month. But one of the times he was talking about a friend of his who's just come back from Israel. And his friend was selected to play for the University of Tennessee in football as a high school senior, started preseason training for the Tennessee way back when, and was injured. His back was injured, and so he could not play for his entire career. He said his friend had just gone on one of these tours of Israel, and they were on a bus tour, and the bus driver was taking them around to different holy sites, and he took them, the people on the bus, to this place, and then the bus driver turns around and said, so this is one of the sites that we believe Jesus performed a lot of miracles. And then this is a bus driver, folks. And the bus driver said, but you know, Jesus is alive today. And he can do miracles today. Who needs healing? And Andy's friend, whose name I don't know, really felt he should get prayed for. He's had this busted back for 20 years. And he said he experienced just this heat going down his back, and he was healed. But this is what he said when he told my friend Andy. He said, Andy, you have to understand who your daddy is. You have to understand who your daddy is. Because it comes out of understanding who our daddy is. So when Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father, he's saying you have to understand who your daddy is. He is for you. He is just for you. He is just for you. He is on your side. He is not disappointed in you. He loves you. You have to understand who your daddy is. And then as Jesus starts to preach, he said, the next thing is, your kingdom come. Now you have to understand what he's saying there, because he's saying it in the context of everything he's been saying about the kingdom of God. This invasion of kingdom of heaven coming down the kingdom earth. When he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is happening in heaven come to earth. Heaven invade earth. Essentially, that's what prayer is. Saying, kingdom of heaven come to earth. So when I pray, I always think, well, what's going on in heaven? Can we pray and ask God to bring that down to earth? I was preaching at a Free Methodist prayer conference for, I think we had about 200 pastors and all of the bishops. I'd been asked to speak about prayer. And I gave them my A game. It was really good. And then I went down to the Free Methodist General Conference, which takes place every 4 years. And while I was there, this little lady came up to me. I don't know how she recognized me, but she said, Dr. Fieldby, I want to tell you my story. And I said, sure. I didn't know what she wanted to say. She said, when you were preaching at this prayer conference, did you say the healing in your foot is starting right now? And I thought, well, I did tell some stories about healing, but there's no reason I would have said that. No, I was confident I didn't say that. And I said, why do you ask? He said, well, let me tell you what happened. I was sitting there, and while you were speaking, I clearly heard someone say, the healing in your foot is starting now. And I didn't know if it was you or God, which, of course, confirms to me that God does have an English accent. I just want to explain that. I've always suspected that. But I think that's confirmation. Anyhow, she heard this. She said it was. She thought I had said it, but I'm sure I did not say it. She said she heard this, and she'd had foot pain for 15 years, and instantly it went. I didn't know anything about it. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with that. I didn't know it happened. I mean, God, somehow she heard God say, the healing in your foot is starting right now. I was preaching in Decatur, in a little bit further north from here. And again, I thought I'd had this little insight that just someone had a little tick in their eye. You know, sometimes the eye twitches, and I don't know how, if that's the right word in America. But in England, we call it a tick in the eye anyhow. And so I said, I think there's someone here with a tick in the eye, and I think just God wants to heal you. And I was just praying for that and other things. After the service, the pastor said, hey, have you met, I can't remember what his name was. And he brings this guy to me, and this guy tells me his story. And he said, Dr. Philby, this is amazing. And he's crying. He said, I had a stroke about 6 months ago, and I lost my sight in one eye. And I have been to the ophthalmologist, and they have been putting these injections in my eye in the hope that my sight can be restored. And he said, on Tuesday, I was told there's nothing more that can be done. But when you said someone has a tick in the eye, and you prayed that, my eye, I can see again. Which shows I don't hear God that accurately. So when I give a few of these in a bit, if it's anywhere close, grab it, okay? Just keep an eye on the time. Kathy and I were ministering to about 1,800 students at Malone University, which is another Christian university in Canton, Ohio. Canton, Ohio is where the NFL Hall of Fame is, if you like NFL. And just before I was going on, I got these two little impressions. One was an odd sense that there was someone there who had medically been told that one leg was shorter than the other. I didn't know what God was going to do. And I saw in my mind's eye a picture of another, it was a young lady. I could see her pulling her left sleeve up. I knew she was right-handed, and I could see her cutting herself with a blade. And I knew at the same time she had been abused as a child. And so after I'd preached, I just gave these two little insights. And I said, you know, I hope I'm wrong, but I think there are people with these conditions. Anyhow, we prayed for a number of people with different conditions. And there was one young lady who said, you know, I think I'm the person with the hip, with a leg problem. My legs look the same, but I was in a car accident and my hips have been skewed, and so there's all this pain in my back. So Kathy and I prayed for probably two or three times, and guess what happened? Nothing. Just nothing. So that was good. So we got, you know, we prayed and we did all that I knew how to do, and nothing appeared. And I've not heard from her since whether anything happened, but let's assume nothing happened. Then we prayed for other people, and I looked at this one young lady, and I knew immediately she was a girl who had been cutting herself. And she'd come with a friend, I presume for moral support. And so we prayed for her. It was just wonderful. You know, when Isaiah 61 talks about taking our ashes and making beauty in place. And Kathy and I, a number of times we've seen Jesus do this, where he takes the most awful sin that's taken against us and watch somehow Jesus get into the deep, deep hurt and start the process of freedom. I wouldn't ever want to say everything is taken care of. These are horrible sins against us, but to start the process. And we just watch this young woman's face being transformed. I never thought that perhaps she was not a follower of Jesus, but I'd asked one of the counselors there to follow up with her, and she led her to Jesus later that day. So anyhow, the young woman she came with, she didn't leave with this girl who'd been cutting herself, and we prayed for other people, and she was still there. And so I went to her and said, can you tell me, is there something you'd like us to pray for? And she said, yes, please. And she held out her hands, and she said, one half of my body, the arm and the leg is 4 inches shorter than the other one. I can't remember if it was the left or the right was shorter. And she said, I'm in the marching band, but I can't walk straight, and it's always embarrassing, and my back is always in pain because of that. And so we sat her down, and Kathy held her arm, and I was just holding her fingertips. And I looked down and looked up, and I just assumed she had moved her shoulders. And we just prayed a simple prayer, which was grow, because that's all I could think of at the time. And I looked up, and she looks at her hand, and she starts to scream. And she gets up, and she starts to touch her fingers together. And then she starts to walk, and then she starts to bawl. She said, the pain in my back is gone. I can't touch my hands together like that, as she says, as she's touching her fingers together. This is kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven coming to earth. Now let me talk just one more thing about when it says thy will be done. One of the scriptures in Luke chapter 9, we talked about the transfiguration. Let me think, is it Luke 9 or Luke 8? I want to get it correct. Well, it's one of them. I can't find it. Luke chapter 9. So after the transfiguration, where Jesus is transfigured in front of a couple of his disciples, he comes down and he sees, the first thing he meets is a father who comes to him and kneels at his feet and says, Jesus, I brought my son to your disciples. Remember his disciples who he has commissioned to heal the sick and cast out demons? Remember those people? And the father says, Jesus, but they couldn't get the job done. Could you have mercy on my son. Now, often in the Christian church, we build our theology when we don't see the results we look for in prayer. We say, oh, it mustn't have been God's will. But I wanted to draw you to this text about prayer. And I ask you this question, what was the will of God? The disciples who were commissioned, they couldn't get the job done, but Jesus just said, oh, you unbelieving generation. And he goes and sets this young boy free of this evil spirit and brings healing and wholeness to him. I want to say to you, that's the will of God. Oftentimes we don't know how to get there. Oftentimes we are limited in our ability to minister well. But I want to declare to you, I believe it's God's will to bless you tonight. So as I was praying, I felt I got a couple of small insights. And if you're one of these, I'm going to invite you to stand, but I'm going to invite other people to stand who just need healing or a touch from God. And I'm not going to pray for you. The people around you are. Because God's going to equip you. That's where the fun is. God wants to give it away. Welcome to the adventure. So if you're any of these, I just say them out because it helps people to receive faith. It just does. But if you're not, if they're close, stand up. Or if they're not mentioned, stand up. And we just want to minister to you. And what I'm going to ask to do is just the people around you just to come and just lay hands on you. You don't have to tell them necessarily the condition. There's one of the, but you can do it. It's helpful if you feel comfortable enough to do that. If the person does tell you the condition, I don't want you to go into, oh, Lord Jesus, will you possibly heal Bob, blah, 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 blah. I want you to speak to the condition. So if it's a heart problem, I want you to say something like, heart, be healed. Speak to the condition. Jesus never prayed for healing. He commanded the healing. Okay? No one has to get emotional. This is just business as normal. The Holy Spirit of God, that's what I love about your atmosphere. It's relaxed. That is the easiest place to receive from God than when it's hyper-emotional. Love the atmosphere here. So let me give, it's just four. But then for other people, I just invite you to stand because God is good tonight. So one is you keep just getting sore throats. I don't know if you're a man or a woman, nothing else about you, but you just get a lot of sore throats, more than you would expect. Another person, you keep getting chest pains, but you know it's not to do with your heart. You've had it checked out, but it's not a heart issue. A third one is you just feel sad. Not many people know, but on the outside you look happy, but inside there's just this sadness. I don't know what's caused that, but Jesus wants to come in. And then the fourth one is for a woman, is that you've had multiple miscarriages. And God wants to do something. So that may be people who are here tonight, maybe people who watching on satellite. I'm just convinced you're out there somewhere and God wants to get to you. So if you're one of those four people, I invite you to stand. But for others who would like just God to come and minister to you and see what we can go get, I just invite you to stand. Hey, that's wonderful. The rest of you, I'm just going to pray for you, because now you're going to go and pray for them. Father, thank you for your lovely kids, and would you just empower them now to do your work? Amen. So off you go. Oh, let me actually pray for these conditions first, then off you go. So Father, in your name, I want to pray especially for these four conditions. So the person who keeps getting these sore throats, we command that to stop. We speak healing to whatever is going on there. We speak your healing, release your healing. For the person who is sad, who there's just this sadness that they can't shake, Lord, it just lingers, it lingers, it lingers. Holy Spirit, we just release you to go into the depth of that person. Bring your beauty where there's ashes. For the woman with the multiple miscarriages, we command death to stop, and we speak your word of life into that womb. We speak and release your word of life into that womb. Thank you, Jesus. And for the person with the chest pain, we want to speak healing and hope to that person. We speak and release your healing to that person. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Now I invite you to get up. Ask the person you're praying for their name if you don't know it, because we pray for people, not projects. Just welcome and invite the Holy Spirit to come and lead you in prayer. And if it's a pain, assess where the person is. Is a pain a 4 or a, out of 10, is it a 4 or a 6 or a 3? And then pray short. And then ask them, has anything happened? So don't pray long prayers and then leave. You know, the idea is we want to see if something happens, because then that's kind of encouraging, isn't it? All right, so let's go. Go to work, church. Yeah. Gather around people who are standing. And for those of you who are in the campuses who will see this on video, just what's happening is people are just gathering around those who stood, and they're just praying. They're asking you their name. They're inviting the presence of the Holy Spirit. And they're just speaking healing. And the Holy Spirit is in this place. And Father God is good. Father God is good. Father God is good. Father God is good. Thank you that you're good, Lord. Thank you that you're good.
Could you ask anyone who needs prayer to raise their hand? Because everyone's
sure. Okay, so if you need prayer, could you raise your hand? Because not everyone, so we know if someone needs prayer and they haven't gone to, so we can identify you. So there's a lady here. If you get a sense that God has done something, can you just let me know? Well, Father, we thank you for the work you're doing. We just bless you. Oh, we just bless you. Thank you. Can I just ask, as sometimes things are instant, sometimes things take time, but did anyone notice any change? Yes. Yes. You did. Would you be able to share it? Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, I can share it real quick. So when...
All right, is there a, like a mic-y thing if you...
I can speak kind of loud.
All right.
So, hi everybody. So when he was talking up there about somebody that had on the outside maybe looked like he had it all together and was just always joyful and he was talking about someone that had a lot of maybe inner sadness and stuff. Well, that really spoke to me, and then when you said it, I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna stand up or not. But then, you know, I kind of just said a quick prayer, and I was like, Lord, this be your will. Just give me the strength to just get over this hump. And so I stood up, and then, Dave and Ricky, we prayed, and it's a very simple prayer. We just went right at it, and praise God. I mean, that sadness is gone.
That's good.
Thank you, God.
Thank you. I just wonder if there were any more who felt at this stage anything happened. It's fine if they did or fine if they didn't. I'm not seeing any hands. So a number of things could be happening. One is nothing has happened. Two is God is at work and you will start to see some changes over a period of time. If that happens, or three, you don't know about it yet, could you let Pastor Shane know? Because then he will send that information back to me. So let me pray for you. Again, I want to commend you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. It is a joy to minister in a place that is hungry for God. And I just know you are. So bless you. So Father, thank you for your children. Thank you, precious Father, that you call every one of these men and women precious in your sight. Thank you for the richness of your forgiveness, the depth of your mercy, and your continued work in each of our lives. Lord, we pray for the pastors and those who labor here for your victory and your protection. And we pray above everything that the name of the Lord Jesus would be lifted high here and that your name would be honored as it is. In Christ's matchless name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bless your hearts.
Thank you.
We have 3 minutes left. So here's where I'm going to go with what is on my heart. I want to pray for you, but I really want to pray for those of you that should have stood, and you know you should have stood, and you feel like it's passed you by. I'm just going to ask everybody to bow their heads right now. If you should have stood, if something is going on, and you should have stood right there, I just don't want you to miss what God's doing tonight. Would you stand up right now? Nobody's looking around. Would you stand up right now if you just felt like something just missed you tonight, and you should have just stood up? Yeah, stand up right now. Don't let this thing pass you. Man, Jesus doesn't come by every minute in the New Testament. When he does, you best get at it. You best get at it. If Jesus is doing something tonight, don't you want to be a part of that? I do. I should have stood up. So if God is calling, all right, Almighty God, I thank you for these who desperately are reaching for you. Dear God, we step beyond our comfort zones because we are outside of our control. But dear God, thank you for reminding us control is an illusion. Only you are in control. So Lord, right now we just speak words of life and health in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would touch those who are standing specifically where they need to be touched, in the area of their body, their mind, their spirits, their emotions that need to be touched. I pray right now that your work would be done. Thank you, dear God, for the bodies you're touching, the emotions you're healing. Thank you, dear God, that you've met with us in this place. And we will praise you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What you received tonight was an incredible perspective on prayer. The two things I love most about it as we wrap this up. Number one, I love the playfulness of Ivan. You know, let's just have some fun now. A lot of times we think when we're praying, we're doing something really heavy and laborious, and sometimes it can be, but a lot of times it's just releasing God's power. And a lot of times it's just allowing ourselves to be conduits for something God's doing. And it's fun to get better, man. It's fun to be healed. It's a good thing. And the other thing I loved about this was it's not technique. You just need to pray for people. You just need to pray for people. I've argued over and over, we will never see miracles until we start praying for people. Because even if God does a miracle, that person will not interpret it as a miracle unless they were prayed for. So when you pray, you release the awareness of God's miraculous power to the people you pray with. Would you pray with people this week? Would you look for people to pray with? And you said, I don't know that I'm qualified. Nobody's qualified. None of us got nothing. Man, nobody's qualified. But we are called to minister to one another. Would you all thank Dr. Ivan Philby for being with us tonight? Group leaders, for those of you that stay and have some discussion afterwards, you do not have questions tonight. But my guess is you're going to have plenty to talk about. Go in peace.